Welcome to episode 167 of Three in the Box here, Underground Wild Podcast, getting funky up in here. This episode is being recorded Saturday, October 20th. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about Jesus, hot rods, and vacations.
That's right. He said Saturday.
Did Jesus build your hot rod?
A ding, 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 dong, 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 ding, dong. Take it to your thought of a gun.
No.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
In the studio with me, as always, Mr. Kenny.
What up?
And Mr. Jeff.
Hey, oh!
Hey! So we're doing a weird podcast. Like, is this midweek? I don't even know.
It's kind of midweek for us.
For podcast?
Last quarter of the week.
Yeah, I mean.
Fourth quarter.
The 11th hour.
Third period, I guess, since we're talking 13th hockey.
Hour. Overtime.
Overtime?
We've seen overtime. Lots of
it's
overtime.
It's a little overtime, too.
A little bit of overtime.
We are in the 3-on-3 portion, but not shootout.
Right.
Yes.
We didn't quite get to the shootout portion.
No. Shootout would have been, we just skipped a week. We were in overtime.
We did. We are. Currently. Now.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I mean, figuratively and realistically, we are in overtime.
Something like that.
I feel like someone's judging me across the table. I don't know.
I feel like someone's watching.
Yeah.
I'm just maybe I just have the funk in me. I don't know.
Maybe. So yeah, we're kind of it's kind of been a crazy couple of weeks, and so we've kind of got a backlog of questions.
We got a backlog of questions, and we had some games going on. I mean, yeah. A little bit of everything, you know?
Do we want to briefly go over a recap of the 6 games since our last show?
I mean, we could. Could we?
Here's the recap. Welcome to the state of Minnesota. You're guaranteed a point because we're going to go into overtime.
We you get a point. You get a point. You get
Everybody
a point.
Gets a point.
Everyone gets a point.
Hey, that's what they call Minnesota nice.
Oh.
Oof. Too soon? Too soon? I don't know.
At this rate, I mean, they're literally giving away points for every team that comes here.
Well, this is our ice.
And we're going to share a point
Minnesota
with you.
Minnesota nice.
What do we normally do? We have a buffet laid out. And then we leave one little piece left for someone. And if they're not from here, they may just swoop in and grab that last piece because they don't know any better. They don't know what's polite.
I stopped doing that at buffets.
Right. You don't take the last little bit?
There's
starving
gotta.
Kids in Ethiopia, man. Come
you know
on.
What? There's starving Kennys walking through the buffet line.
Tell me one of their names.
Shaniqua? I don't know.
Oh, okay, Kenny. That was a little too much there. Wow.
The South Park episode.
Starving Marvin.
Starving Marvin. Marvin, there's a name.
Nope.
Oh, boy. I think I solidified
Just go back through your old Cabbage Patch Kid cards, right?
Okay.
Oh, God.
Are you thinking garbage pail kid?
Garbage pail kid.
I was like, I got a cabbage patch kid.
Garbage
pail
kid.
His name was Alan Olson. Yeah. It was not very dirty or anything.
Mine was Randy Bush.
are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you, dude.
Right? Like the Twins player,
yeah,
Randy
the
Bush.
The Twins player, Randy Bush, man.
Like before Randy Bush was Randy Bush? Or
yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he have a...
I didn't. I don't remember the name of it.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Neglectful dad over here.
Yeah, too many drugs.
When I was 4, yeah. That was an issue back then.
Dropped his Cabbage Patch Kid on his head. Shaking Cabbage Patch Kid syndrome.
Well, so this brings me back to today. So, you know, sorry.
Wait, where's the segue from Shaking Cabbage Patch Kid?
Earlier today.
Well, this just brings me back to today. So, my two boys, they were gone at a birthday party. And so, it was my wife and I, and we're spending time with our daughter, right? So, we're out at the Mall of America, and they have this store at the Mall of America.
Uh-oh, I think I know what
store you're
talking about.
Some of you might have heard about it. The American Doll Girl store.
I brought my niece there, and I was like, we're not buying anything here.
She wanted everything in there.
Did you win that? Did you win that billion?
But I didn't win that $1 billion Mega Millions lottery yet. So no.
Well, it's 1.6 now.
But yes, walking me through that store and, oh yeah, that's cool. But oh my goodness, like she liked this like little locker, you know, like school, high school locker or whatever. You open it up, it comes with like a little mirror inside and other things you can hang on there. Maybe some little folders or little notebooks.
Or if it's if we're American Doll, but it was a boy, it'd be like pictures of penises drawn inside the locker.
Maybe, but they do have male American
Doll
girl. I guess it would be American girl, boy. Though.
Yeah. If it's American boy American doll, boy doll, it'd be penis pictures. it would be. It would be penthouses from your dad.
You got the poster hanging inside.
I had the 80s Playboys that had, it was like full on bush.
Yeah, the centerfolds. Yes, yeah. Right.
It would be what's their name? Ireland. It would be Kathy Ireland posters.
No, that was it, but that was...
I think we're dating ourselves at that point.
I had Kathy Ireland posters on my
That would be the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. See.
I think I had the... Well, my dad had that I ended up taking from him at some point. The Vanna White Playboy issue.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know she was...
Turn my letter.
Yeah, exactly.
Did I tell you guys that I had artwork in a Playboy?
I don't know if I want to know at this point.
Back when I was working for the motorcycle shop, we had an advertisement that ran in Playboy.
Oh, yeah. That's an ad in the paper.
But it was my artwork in the ad.
That was your artwork.
So someone paid to have your artwork put in Playboy.
Pretty much.
Okay.
It was so funny because my mom actually went out and bought like a half a dozen Playboys. She's like, Kenny's work is in here.
He's an artiste. She started wearing a beret after that.
I'm so proud of my son.
I was like, Mom, I think the only thing that would have made this better had I been actually watching you going up to the clerk at the gas station going, where are your Playboys at?
She's like, I read them for the articles and the advertisement.
For the advertisement. So, where are we at now?
I don't know. You took us down this road, though, I think.
Cabbage Patch.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
All right. So, let's talk about the wild week, I guess.
Yeah.
Week and a half.
No, we already did that.
Yeah, I guess we did.
Oh, yeah, the Minnesota Nice.
So, it's been a while.
Yeah, a long while.
So, there's been a few games. We've had 6 games now, because we had a game tonight. We'll go back to the Wayback Machine to 10-11 with the Wild winning at home against the Blackhawks in overtime. We ended up getting, it was a 4-3 win. It's a little bit bummer because we're still giving points to Chicago, but that one was a come from behind. So
hey, we walked out with 2 points.
Right.
All right. We have more than they do.
And if I remember right, that one was a Zucker win.
Yes, that was the. That was the Zucker. He had 2 goals that game.
He did. Yeah, that was a really good game. Actually,
my memory's still doing all right.
Considering all the buka we've had tonight, that is fantastic.
And all the drugs you did as a Cabbage Patch father.
Cabbage Patch heroin dealer. Hey.
My Cabbage Patch kid may have been the sticker child for the Garbage Pail Kids.
Cabbage Patch crack baby.
Wait, what?
Anyways.
Sorry. Oh, anyway, there's yet another overtime game.
At home.
This time, while we're on the losing side, overtime loss, 5-4. These are the two games we should have covered in this last episode.
We also had the other one on Monday night.
This is true. Or maybe not, depending on something when we like recorded. That. But another overtime loss, another overtime game at home. Everyone gets a point. Luckily, the Wild got a point on this one. You know.
Yeah. Hey, everybody's a winner.
Yeah, but Carolina wins 5-4. Monday's game, which was the downer game where the Wild lost 4-2 on the road. We got to see the garish lady behind Peter Laviolette with the fur.
Dude, she's got the, like, she literally has like predator hair.
Yeah, we got to hear the Nashville crowd boo Suter. It's like they need to read. He's just not that into you, you know. It's really what they need to do. Maybe they should just do a giveaway, 10,000 of those copies of the.
And then
maybe they're not saying boo.
Didn't they start in
suit
on
or something?
Yeah, or dude, Nick,
no.
Anyway, the Wild lost 4-2.
Back-to-backs and back-to-backs this week. What the hell is going on?
Two back-to-backs this week. The back half of this one was at home. Wild win, though, 2-1.
Without OT. Without extra time.
They won in regulation, which is, I believe, actually their first regulation win.
Of the season.
I think you're right. Thank you, Arizona.
And as tonight's game went, it actually is their only. No, that's not their only. Their only home regulation win. They had a regulation win again last night against Dallas.
Very true.
Yep.
Which is great because last year they didn't win at all in Dallas.
Dallas has always been a tough spot for the Wild to play in.
It has. There was a spell, though, in the early Parisi years where I was like, oh, the tide is turning. We're starting to win in Dallas.
We own you.
But the last year, we...
Dallas is always skating them two-thirds of that game.
Uh-huh.
It was, but I still think...
It was a track meet. It was.
And I still call it a good win for the Wild because, I mean, honestly, coming into that game... when people are looking at the Dallas Stars this year, I mean, they're seeing a lot of talent there. And I think that they're kind of being expected to perform this year, which maybe isn't necessarily happening. But looking at that, I think that the Wild, you know, fared fairly well down there.
Yeah, but then again, you did have that one fluky goal. I mean, let's be honest. It was a fluky goal from Suter off of...
Someone's Johnson.
Where it's basically Suter is like, that's normally me with that goal going in the net, you know.
Yeah, but how about the goal that Dubnyk did let in?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, considering that, you know, the shots coming down, and what was it? One of the bends out in front or something like that. It was like a downward.
Dubnyk was playing out of his mind.
Dubnyk.
Yeah,
that score should have been 6-3 the other way around.
Yeah, considering it was a track meet, Dumba's goal was, I mean, it was a slapper from far, and was that the one
where he skated up in.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He got in. That's right.
He's been playing deep lately.
Because he had the slapper the other night where, I mean, so it's like he's been all over the place.
He's all over, and that's good. And I think that
he's making his worth. Yeah. You know,
I think that
his contract.
You give that guy some room to roam. He's obviously got, like, you know, some intuition to make those goals and make the scores and get in the right spots. I think that, you know, that's a good thing to give him that little bit of freedom. And I also feel, though, that, too, as he's, you know, as he's growing up here in the NHL, I think that he is still, you know, finding a way to make sure that he's seeing, you know, that somebody's covering his back if he's skating up and in, or that he is getting back and he is making, you know, I see him making, you know, several hits now, too.
He has been playing the
back
body.
In the defensive zone, which, you know, that's, I think that's another notch. Notch on the belt there.
I did hear, and I want to say it might have even been from the Dallas game last night from the NBC announcers, which is surprising that, you know, Dumba being paired with Suter gives him that flexibility to go in and play deeper with Suter on the blue line to be able to cover that.
Although Suter will play up too.
Well, and we've seen that because, you know, he had his goal going from when he was playing down low.
Right.
And he's actually been coming in low on a lot of the power plays and shorthanded stuff. I've seen him coming in pretty deep.
And I not to totally change what you're saying, but to go off of that, the game last night was NBC.
Yep.
And you had AJ Mielekso. I hope I'm saying
that.
Oh,
did you see her almost get hit with the stars? Like the big star, like the out of the truss come down?
No.
And one of the dudes pulled her back. I think it was like the first intermission, she went to go walk out on the ice, and as they were lowering the star that they skate through, she almost had the one leg of it drop right on top of her head.
Well, I will say, though, I felt she was like a billion times better than Darren Pang or Pierre.
Oh, absolutely.
She was awesome, actually.
She was great.
And it made me go and go, because I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't know who she was. And you know, fault on me for not knowing that, but you know, she deserved to be there, and she did a great job, and I hope NBC does more of that, because it made the broadcast not annoying, aside from the shot counter, but that's not her problem.
That's not her issue. But I even found, even with the alligator wrestler,
Roenick,
I think even Roenick has kind of mellowed a little bit, and the other people, like the intermission report, they seem to be a little bit more...
I don't like Roenick still, but, you know, eh, whatever.
I mean, also, he will...
the alligator wrestler.
he will play the winning team. Any game that you watch him on.
I think that's NBC in general, is they'll play up how great the winning team was.
And we're early enough in the season that they can't make a decision between the Wild and Dallas.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I don't fault them too much for signing one team or another. I don't like Roenick, though, because...
Aaron, I will agree with you that everything that I heard coming out of AJ was pretty good as far as just straight up reporting.
I think
neutral.
Yeah, I think between her and color and play-by-play, I thought actually they were good.
I didn't feel like I needed to mute the
broadcast. There were points where like they're bringing up stuff. I was like, whoa, I didn't know that. And that's pretty uncommon for the national broadcast, actually.
No, that, can we get the C-Squad all the time, please?
Yeah, no doubt.
Are you sure it was the C squad?
Well, it's A squad to me.
Oh.
Mm.
They're all A squad, aren't they?
Well, speaking of the A squad, we had a game tonight, too.
Oh, with your neighbor.
Yes, my neighbor.
Your neighbor was playing tonight.
Yes.
I missed the Mr. Rogers sample tonight, dang it.
Something about my
neighbor.
Yeah. So the Wild played Tampa Bay.
Hello, King Friday.
That's what we're looking for.
Was there anybody who was Saturday on there? There was Prince Wednesday.
Oh, God. Aaron, are you looking?
No.
There was Queen... Who?
Mr. McFeely, Chef Brockett, Cousin Stephen Owl, Mr. Anybody, Handyman Negri, Officer Clemens, Bob Dog, Neighbor Aber, Reardon, Keith the Handyman, Betty Okanak Templeton Jones,
See, these are, but Lady these aren't Aberlin. The puppets.
No, they're not the puppets. Those are just the characters.
Yeah.
I want the puppets.
Yes.
Oh, the next question. Damn it. I already had it. Keep going. I'll find this.
Anyways.
Have you guys, since we're on the topic, have you guys seen the Mr. Rogers?
I haven't, but I kind of really want to go see it.
There was one of the crew guys that died on that.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's, especially as a dad, it's,
Well, I mean.
It's going to be onion time.
Queen Sarah Saturday.
Queen Sarah Saturday, see?
Yep. Prince Tuesday.
My damn wife.
King Friday.
Where are we going with this? I don't even know where we're going with this. I don't know. There's a game tonight. Wild One. Wow, that is a total
derail.
That is a total derailment there.
Not yet.
Too soon. But anyway, see the Mr. Rogers documentary.
Is that on Netflix or is that Amazon?
I think we may actually pay
That's
for
how
it.
We went there. We started talking about tonight and your neighbor.
Yeah, so
it comes back.
Ryan McDonough was on the ice because the Wild played Tampa Bay. And the Wild won.
Lightning.
Yeah. Which at one point at the end of first it was 3-1. Wild were losing. And it didn't look very good.
Definitely didn't start out very well.
No. But, you know, they held on and clawed their way back. And he had a granny goal in overtime.
Yep.
And
through the legs?
It was...
No.
I'm sorry, you said granny goal, you know? I'm thinking about granny ball and stuff.
Wrong,
come on,
wrong
you know?
Sport, Jive.
Oh, come on.
Are you shooting yourself?
Yeah. Committing suicide.
Committing ways. Podcast suicide.
Yes. There we go.
Anyway, the Wild won. It was a good game. It was up and down. There were highs, there were lows.
Must be bows.
It must be bows.
Oh wait, no highs, no lows.
Yeah, something like that.
So Wild are off for a while now.
Of course, because you
just did back to back.
Let's jam four games into this week, and we have two games the week before, two games the week after. Because why not? You know. Yeah. What else are they going to do?
They're gonna actually be at home for a while too.
Make for long weekends,
man. Which apparently is a good thing because considering all the kids that are, I guess, in the oven. Of the Wild players.
Yeah, dude, they're going to have...
Or that are already there.
Right.
See, we don't need a scouting program. With the aging team, we can just let the kids come on up.
We'll just bring their kids in.
Well, and that's one thing that was brought up, I think it was on the national broadcast, was that the Wild are the oldest team.
Averaged age.
Average age.
Yep.
And you know what happens when you're the oldest team? You tend to have a lot of kids at that point.
You do.
You know, if the average age is 25 and the average age is 32, the 32 team is going to have more kids. Well, that's just a fact of nature, you know?
I mean, I look at Granny as still a kid, and he's got a kid on the way.
Really?
Yeah, that was...
I thought he's like 16 still.
He just kind of... you know, he's starting to get a actual... man haircut now, but it's still very...
Does he really, though?
No, it's still like a
stubble there?
He still looks like he got his haircut with a Flo-Bee. I mean, I love Granny, but I mean, his hair is like... I don't know what he's doing with that, you know? He's trying, I guess.
He's working on his Minnesota flow.
Minnesota.
Yes.
Anyway, that's the week. The Wild... It's overtimes at home.
Yep.
All right. We're taking you fans into overtime right now, so let's head right into that Twitter talk, eh?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey. Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't
you betcha.
Oofta.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Sorry, I was waiting for it. All right, so we've got like a week and a half's worth of questions, and you guys are definitely asking them.
Yeah.
So, let's get started.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going to pause after every half of sentence so Jive can play a sample.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Now I want that after every question.
You got to wait till after I finish the question. Hand off the button.
So the question, yeah.
The first question. Okay. Well deserved. From Chris and Assist, Mr. Derek Felska. At three in the box, how much longer will GM Paul Fenton?
You're a big boy. Use your big boy word.
Dude, Fenton! Come on. Thank you. Need to watch a slow Minnesota Wild team before he starts making moves. Which player would you look to move first?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So I look at who's the slowest guy on the team. I'm going to go with the injured guy, Hendricks. There's a lot of slow guys on this team. This team is...
old?
It's old. It's old. Aged beef. If you will.
Yep.
You know.
Can we send them AARP cards for Christmas?
Walkers. Walker, okay, hold on, Minnesota Rangers.
Hold that. So speaking of that, we were talking, so working Rocktember up at Hinkley this year.
Which should really be Rocktober. Oh,
anyways.
Don't get me started about
that. One of the guys brought up having, so that they had like a pit area set up or like a general admission set up in front of, like, directly in front of the stage.
For Rocktember?
For Rocktember. And I don't remember who brought it up, but they're like, dude, they should have tennis balls in there for them to throw on stage so they can re-put tennis balls on their walkers since all these dudes are getting so old. It is funnier when you're there. Okay, so anyways.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So my pick for... you know, the person who would be slow that we would move first would actually probably be Fair.
See, I feel like he's slow, but he's been there. Deliberate, at least.
Yeah.
One person's slow is another person's deliberate. So you gotta keep that in mind.
Okay.
Like, Suter glides.
Yes.
But he's in the right spot at the right time.
Yes.
89% of the time.
95 for suits.
Yeah.
But being slow isn't
a
bad
thing.
And
the other 5% he's in the wrong spot because he's knocking it into the net.
Or someone's banking off him into the net.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of a block shot, right?
Yeah.
It's like he got anti-suitered on that one. Yeah, or reverse suitored. He reverse suitored himself. I don't know.
Suiterception?
Suiterception.
Suiterception. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next question comes in from Crease and Assist as well. Three in the box. The Wild gave up the most shots at home on home ice against the Carolina Hurricanes on Saturday with 57 shots.
You get a shot. You get a shot. You get a shot.
That's 5-7.
That's almost a shot a minute.
Yes, that's 57 shots.
Heinz 57.
Whew.
Wild.
So, 57.
So Felska's question to us, though, is will we see a team send 60 shots on goal in a game this season with this Walking Dead team of ours?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
60 is a... that's a high number.
That is a high number. So is 57.
57 is really high, too.
60 is not too far off from that.
It isn't, but... in really, it's an arbitrary barrier because it's base 10 or whatever, but...
Do you remember... was it last season where we were looking up the Japanese girls hockey team?
Oh, yeah.
When they, what was this, like some astronomical score where we figured out that they had like a goal every like 40 seconds or something like that.
It was an embarrassing level.
Yeah.
a misbalance.
That's what this makes me think of, though, is because you're almost getting to a shot a minute at that point.
But at the same point,
so while we're still in the game,
right?
thank you, Dubnyk.
I mean, and maybe that speaks more to not every shot on goal is considered equal.
Yeah. No, and then you'll get like two or three right in a row.
Well, and you look at the other game. Was it like, yeah, I don't know if it was last night. So I don't remember which game it was, where it was like shot after off the pipe after shot off the pipe.
Dallas, I think, had a few of them.
It was like over and over and over again.
Doesn't count as a shot on goal, then, right?
Well, or a missed shot where it's like, you know,
yeah,
it's like they were shooting, they were attempting a shot on goal, but because it didn't hit the goalie or the net,
it's not a shot on goal.
So it's like I don't necessarily agree with the definition, and I think that changes that could change the conversation a little bit as far as whether or not, you know, 57 or 60 is a possible. Yeah. You know,
and I myself personally, I guess I would see 60 as being possible with the way that the Wild have been playing at home here.
Oh, totally, yeah.
You know, heading into overtime a lot of the time here.
Hey, give them an extra 5 minutes.
Yeah,
man.
Give
them
an extra 5 minutes in there. We can definitely rack up those shots on goal. So,
Aaron, you're up.
All right. Also from Crease and Assist, the FSN crew suggested that the Minnesota Wild were being outshot, that the reason was their slow starts was because they are a veteran team. Is that the valid reason or just desperate rationalization?
If we got a couple of others. Oh.
Kenny's trying to get a sample played.
Nope.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
There we go. Thank you.
Oh.
That hurt, Kenny.
Yeah, God, Kenny.
You weren't on top of it, man. You said you're going to play it after every question.
So,
the questions weren't okay.
Okay, anyway.
I'm going to go with rationalization.
Rationalization of what?
What was the question?
What happened to our 80s funk?
The funk is dead.
Yeah.
Oh. Ouch. All right. Veteran team. Is that just a rationalization?
I think so.
For the slow starts.
For the slow starts. Yeah. Although, I mean, you know, they did it to Dallas, and they almost like they rope-a-doped them.
Jive?
Funny. Rope-a-dope. Who'd they have? Rope hints. How do you pronounce his name?
I don't know. It's Finnish.
It's Finnish?
He played. I saw him in Finland, and he was the one player I was like impressed with. Actually,
I thought he was Rope.
Rope. didn't we look up the?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Anyway,
it's probably just desperate rationalization. But to go along with that, we've also got a couple questions coming in from some of the other listeners. We got T-Hane88, who says, you know, the Minnesota Wild are having the oldest roster in the league, basically. Considering the game now is more about kind of speed and superstars, which the Minnesota Wild has neither, how can the organization, start to think, how can the organization think that having slow as well as the oldest roster is the way to compete? And also Puck Rocker at Puck Rocker wanted to know, what did I do?
Nothing.
Puck Rocker wanted to know, how did I do?
Well, what he wanted to know is, if he's going to go spend out his hard-earned money to watch some kind of a slow middle-aged team like this at the XL, should he even buy a Minnesota Wild ticket to see Mikko Koivu or a ticket to maybe just go see New Kids on the Block?
Okay, first off,
mixtape tour. It sounds like he is going.
Hold the phone here.
Hold the phone.
Okay. That, you know, even if you look at Parisi or Koivu or Suter, you know, what are they, like 33?
Yeah, they're not older than me. They're not
They are
old
not
yet.
Middle-aged. 33 is not middle-aged. I'm sorry.
It's the new
middle I don't know age. How old you are, Puck Rocker, but if you're older than 33 and you think you're middle-aged, well, you got a lot of time to go. That's all
it's
I'm
a good excuse
say.
To have a midlife crisis earlier.
That's quarter-life crisis.
No, it's a midlife crisis
quarter-life, what, do you live in 120?
No, quarter-life crisis is a millennial thing. It's like where they're trying to figure out what they're doing with their life or whatever.
How can you say that, though, when, yeah, you don't know how long the life is going to be?
We're all going to die.
What if I die when I'm 50, though? My midlife crisis should have been when I was 25.
Well, that's just poor planning on your part.
Poor planning.
This is why I go by the philosophy you should have fun all the time.
That's more of a hedonistic lifestyle.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what the baby boomers are doing, and now they have no, like, life savings, and now they're all going to be dead.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But did they have fun doing it?
I don't know. I wasn't there. Woo-hoo! I'm too busy, like, paying for them at this point.
Oh, it's not that bad. Yeah, come on, no.
I don't know.
You sound so depressed about having fun there, Lindgren.
Way to go, Jared boy.
Great time. It's a good show.
Benchtown!
That's what your hard-earned taxpayers are going for. Some dude who can't get his dog off the beach. Oh wait, I'm mixing those two up, aren't I? Because that what was the
he can't
oh,
get the
dog.
Beach off his dog.
No, that was the oh dog. Why you don't mind me?
Why you don't mind me? Yeah.
All right. So, anyways, old guys, the Wild,
or New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, or New Kids on the Block. Which sorry. One are you going to see?
I'm sorry, Puck Rocker just totally wound me up there on that one.
So you're going to see the New Kids on the Block, then. That's what it sounds like to me. Was that Justin Timberlake's group? Was he New Kids on the Block? No, he is Backstreet Boys, right?
You're talking like a decade later.
Decade later.
Yeah, that decade was a blur, man.
Who was Justin Timberlake with?
Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet
or
Boys.
Or NSYNC?
That wasn't no. It wasn't NSYNC.
I actually don't know.
No, New Kids on the Block was Wahlbergs, the yes. Wahlbergs,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Timberlake was Timberlake yeah. is not that old.
Was Timberlake even born when New Kids were around?
No. Well, yeah, he was. Yeah. Honestly,
they weren't that far apart.
He was NSYNC. He was NSYNC, right?
No, I'm looking.
I don't even know. I don't know.
Who are the New Kids on the Block?
Donnie. Slappy
Jordan
and Jordan,
yes. Oh,
Jordan, yeah.
Wow. So, Justin is
same time.
Justin is 1 week older than me,
an old man. See,
he was in NSYNC.
See, that's what I said.
He was in NSYNC. See, oh. You know your boy bands.
Apparently.
Okay.
Ask me off the Jackson 5, I guess.
Dude, now I should have gone incognito because now I'm going to be getting updates on.
Your newsfeed is fucked. So we had a question, I guess, right?
Yeah, so what should you spend
Puck Rocker, on? You can go to hell because you saw what has happened now after you asked this question.
So he should be.
We're now searching for boy bands.
You're telling him to go see New Kids on the Block.
Tiffany is also performing with that, and same with. I just saw a commercial for it.
Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice, and there was Vanilla Ice.
I think Vanilla
there.
Ice. I don't know.
There was a hip hop crew or hip hop band on there too.
All I know is Aaron just told Puck Rocker to go to hell.
Well,
which I interpret as go see New Kids on the Block.
Oh, Naughty by Nature is on that tour.
Are you down with OPP?
Oh, OPP. Man.
And Salt and Peppa.
Okay. Hang on. Okay. Now. Hang on. Now.
Let's stop the podcast and let's push it to next week.
Push it.
Push it real good. Do, 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 do.
Okay.
So yeah, it's Salt and Peppa, Tiffany, Debbie Gibson, Naughty by Nature, and New Kids on the Block.
Wow.
Can you get more of a variety from the 80s?
Okay. Anyway.
I'm going to have to go see that. Puck You're... Rocker, I'm going to tell you this. Go see New Kids on the Block.
There you have it. From the wise words of Jive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... hockey.
Next question, Kenny.
Okay. Where are we at?
Okay. Questions. It's tough to switch from searching boy bands to actually
hockey talk.
From a hockey talk or hockey talk.
You're a hockey talk man?
Yeah.
Is that the new Elvis song?
Oh, boy.
From T. Hain, 88, Mr. Tom Hain.
This is why
we don't
normally do Saturday shows. This is horrible.
From Mr. Tom Hain, T. Hain, 88. If the trajectory of the start of the Minnesota Wild season continues, does it simply fall on the feet of Bruce Boudreau, considering... CL
Craigslist.
Craigslist. Yeah.
Stated publicly before the season, the roster only needed a tweak. So is it Boudreau's fault or does the roster need a tweak?
I'm not laying this on Boudreau. Although the way that the season has started here, you know, there's been a lot of, shifting around of guys from this line to that line. Guys from the third line going to the first line. Guys from the first line going to the second line. Second line going to the fourth line. Third line. I don't know. It's been all over the place. And honestly, I think that tells to me that Mr. Boudreau is not, you know, necessarily prepared for what the season is. I kind of feel that we should probably be a little bit more solid on that. But I'm not going to lay it on Boudreau because, really, there probably is more than a minor change. You know, everybody has watched this team for the last, you know, X years.
Mm-hmm.
We've had similar results every year. And, you know, it's been... you know, mainly the same core group of players. We've had a few come, we've had a few go, but really it's been the same core group of players. So
and
we
like,
know what to expect.
And like all of us, you know, they're not getting any younger.
Nope.
You know, and, you know, without an injection of talent, young talent, I don't know how you expect anything different. You know, I do think there is... one thing to be said about a lot of the teams that have won the Cup over the last decade is that they've got some young, dynamic talent that has helped driving that push. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that the Wild have that right now.
Yeah. We could be surprised, though, by somebody like maybe a Jordan Greenway or something, or maybe Luke Cunanan.
So
comes back from injury and able to, you know, contribute maybe a little bit more to the Big Wild.
And maybe Granlund yes. can maybe help a little bit more than he already has.
So you know. Here's the thing. Okay, we're roughly 10% into the season right now, 8 games in.
Roughly.
Because, you know, it's 82 games and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
While they're sitting at 10 points right now, they're actually... 2-4 number 7 in the West. But if you look at the East, there's only 3 teams in double digits, and Toronto leading with 12 points, and you've got Montreal and Boston with 10. So it's not like they're playing horribly as far as points go right now.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah.
I mean, they could definitely be
worse off.
And I think just some of the, like, just seeing them go into overtime a lot and then seeing them play and lose some of the games that should have been, you know, theirs. You get a game where they got 57 shots against them. It looks bad, but I mean, really, they are kind of holding their own right now.
I think a lot of it has to do with the you can't put a lot of stock in a team that's winning in a run and gun fashion unless they get a lot of speed or something is pushing their play towards that. And I feel like the Wild are keeping around or in the games in those run and gun games, just out of like happenstance. I'm not convinced that they're fast enough to be able to be a team that wins those kind of games. Dubnyk
has been standing on his head.
And maybe that's one thing that benefits is that Dubnyk plays better when he's got clear field of vision. Yep. And he can pick up those breakaways and stuff like that, you know? Maybe there's something to be said about that. I don't know. I'm just positing that.
If you did, you'd be a head coach in the NHL. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, the other thing to look at right now, Nashville's leading the league with 14 points, but they're 7-1. There's no way that they're going to continue that route for the next 70.
Especially when Rene just went down, I think I just read. So I'm not going to be holding my breath on that one. So I
think the Wild still have a very solid chance. If they continue playing how they are right now, there should be no reason why they don't make the playoffs. I mean, they're 4-2-2. It's not the worst position to be in.
All right, next question from Tom Hain at thain88. Please, for the love of Gretzky, tell us that Stahl is not going to be extended, or do you think this team needs another top six forward on the roster under contract into his late 30s? As much as I like Stahl, I don't think he's really capitalizing on his talent this year, and no. I don't want to pay him in the future, because we're already going to be on the hook for Koivu, Parisi, Suter. That's enough.
We got Zucker and Dumba for the next 5 years.
And like Stahl, I'd rather have Stahl over Parisi and Koivu. But, you know, them's the breaks.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, Stahl had the best year of his career last year as far as points go.
Stahl is built more sturdily than Parisi is. I mean, I think that's where I stand, at least.
He had more brothers to beat him against the boards when he was a kid.
It's math, man.
Yeah. And I guess
that's why Kenny's so weak. He had no brothers.
Yeah. From what?
Hey, you said it, not me.
I didn't say anything.
You said he had more brothers. And
yeah, but I didn't say anything beyond that. That was all you.
Jai's trying to play a sample here. Timely matter here.
He was.
Oh,
but
yeah?
Notifications keep popping up that he has to dismiss first.
Freaking Outlook.
Not my device. So, anyways, yeah, what I would say to that is, you know, Stahl has definitely, you know, been beneficial for our team to have around.
Oh, totally.
I wouldn't frown upon that at all. I wouldn't want to pay him big dollars to stick around.
Nope.
Because, as you mentioned, Aaron, I mean, we've already got some big paychecks that are, you know,
we don't have
got to be out there on the payroll. So
money to pay, like salary cap. We don't
if we're going to bring anybody.
Where's
else
the room?
In. Right.
Yeah.
It's just not there. And so that said, probably not to keeping him around. If you were willing to, you know, structure his contract is, you know, such that maybe he could still play with the Wild and for a reduced price, I would be open to that.
All right. Next question from thain88. Past 15 years, the Minnesota Wild has Granny, Zucker, and to a lesser extent, Holla and Clutter Cheeks. I think he meant Clutter Buck. as the only drafted forwards that have had an impact on the roster. Is it poor talent evaluation, bad development, or both?
I don't think that you can always have a winner. It's just not possible, you know. Out of the, hundreds of thousands of players that are out there, you're grabbing up a couple. You're not always going to have a number one that is, totally, dominant of the game. If it was that way, then nobody would be dominant in the game. So that said, I think that we've, maybe not had a, great track record, but I definitely think that we could have done worse than, some of these people that we've had here. And unfortunately, some of them we also can't hang on to. So,
well, I would add Alex Tuch into that as well.
Tuch? Dumba?
Yeah, was Dumba drafted by the Wild?
I believe so. I can't remember when that was.
Yep. But
it's not that the Wild don't draft. They don't. Yeah. Allow they just don't allow the players to mature or they're so buried in the line that you don't get to see their talent fully come out. So,
So all right, next question comes in from PN88. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being starvation, how bare is the prospect cupboard for the Minnesota Wild?
And Kaprizov doesn't count because he's not in the system yet. I'm going to say 3.
I was thinking 3 myself. Maybe a 4, but
I was thinking 2, so.
I'm leaning towards, okay, so you were thinking 2 went with 3. I was thinking 4 went with 3.
I'm going to go with 5.
Dude.
Cupboards are bare.
They are, but I got to think positively. Somebody has to around here.
All right, next question from Tom Hain. It seems as though Craig Leopold is just way too involved with roster decisions. No doubt he wants the team to win, but is there any chance Fenton is allowed to put his own mark on this roster at some point? Maybe. Even
Fenton is handcuffed because he's got so many contracts that are sitting in his lap right now.
I mean, he's in his first year.
I think he's definitely got his time coming here.
Yeah.
If there's anybody who goes away at the end of this season, it's not going to be Fenton. Just because that's...
Damn it!
Cut that part out. It's not going to be Fenton, though, because there's...
I'm leaving that. Jai's getting tired.
There's plenty of people, though, that are out there that, you can lay blame here, you can lay blame there. Somebody has to take the fall for it, and it's not going to be Fenton at this time right now. He's got to get his shot, his fair shot, to have a full, blown, draft and all that stuff where, he's been in control of the team. He's starting to make some of the moves that are going to, mold it into what he's looking at.
Okay. From T. Hain, 88. We've heard the litany of excuses from the Minnesota Wild broadcast, ranging from the altitude, long layoff, veteran lineup, and the officiating. Do they think that the fandom is that clueless to not see what's going on the ice right now?
Is that in regard to
probably Colorado? Slowness, oldness,
losing. Questions so got obviously, jumbled around, so maybe this is
obviously
a part two.
The fandom right now is clueless.
Yeah. So is the box.
Yeah. Next question coming in from TN88. The team has been a disaster for the first couple of weeks. Save Dubnyk, Zucker, Suter, and Dumba. That's a good portion of the team. It is the cap ceiling and has the oldest roster in the league. Is there any way out of this?
I think we kind of touched on this a little bit, but yeah. I mean, you know what? Those are all guys that should be saving the team right now. Throwing Parisi and Staal on there, maybe a Koivu, and you know, we've been seeing goals come from our forwards finally, and even some of our defense. So. Yeah. I don't know that we kind of touched on all these topics at various points.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think that we're at any point in the season where we should be, you know, freaking out and we're going crazy. We're still in the running.
I'm more worried about those cupboards being empty.
Yeah.
Injuries are going to happen.
They will.
They will.
It's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
When. Yep.
So then what you're saying to me then is there's one thing sure in hockey. Injuries and taxes.
That's two.
And taxes.
And taxes.
All right. Next question from Tom Hain. Dubnyk has been otherworldly to this point. The team's best player. If things go south in a hurry regarding the standings, but his play continues to be, I'm guessing, great... do you ask him to drop his no-trade clause and try to improve the skating roster?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not.
No. No, no.
Consensus all around here.
All right.
That's a no-brainer.
Goes nowhere.
Yep.
From at Mike Wasik, two questions. Do the last two of the 3 years of stats support the slow start line of thinking? If before you pull off the trade, you knew you could lock in Nylander for 6 years and $7.5 million. Would you do it? And what would you take? Coyle, Brodin, and a pick? Question mark.
Okay, so there's two: slow start and Nylander.
And then pulling, if we could pull in Nylander.
As far as slow start, I know I will be probably prone to that too. Where it's a small sample size, things start out poorly. You start, you know. The sky's falling.
Oh my god!
You know, it happens.
Chicken Woo-hoo! Little philosophy.
Oh yeah,
yeah. We all get a little Chicken Little. We're still, like you said, you're only 10% into the season. So we're, if you equate that to NFL, that's like week one, week two. You know, you don't
right.
You don't lose your mind after losing a game or two, and we had to
just
keep
after
it.
Three. Then right.
Well,
yeah. If you're in baseball, you're like at week. Five.
Well, you're in game 50. You know.
We're only 10%.
So, I mean, it's a matter of perspective. I get that. As far as Nylander goes, anyone, I think if Fantan is smart, he's not trying to get himself locked in any sort of long-term deal.
Nope.
He's going to need some flexibility because... If this team doesn't win this year, he's going to be hamstrung for a while.
Yeah.
He's going to be finding the leftovers in the cupboard.
That's what he's going to be eating dinner on.
Mm-hmm.
Get that ramen that's hiding way in the back.
All right.
Or dog food.
Touche.
Or cat food.
All right. Next question comes in from Crease and Assist. Oh, no, sorry. From Mike Wasik. Oh, three in the box. Does the emergence of someone like Mike Riley in Montreal point to a systematic problem within the Wild? Looking at like Holla and maybe Tuck?
Yes.
Yeah, it does, because you got all these guys that are shining elsewhere because they're allowed to actually play that get buried in the Minnesota roster.
Nick Leddy, where we trade away.
Yeah, to Chicago, and then he's now in, what, New York?
Yeah.
Behind all the old guys we want to hang on to.
Yeah.
We got these big contracts up front where these guys aren't producing, whereas you have this young talent that is just, it's a bundle waiting to explode.
Right.
And you don't let them play because you got these veterans on the team.
Well, you have something like Koivu is taking up a spot.
The one thing that you do have to look at, though, is that, so, yes, those may have been good players who were, you know, and we referenced this earlier, you know, some of the drafts that have been made. You know, these are players who are, you know, had been drafted by the Wild, and you look at that stuff, and you just can't possibly keep everybody too. That's not it's not a reality.
No.
So, you know, making your choices on who you keep, you know, say you do hang on to like a Tuck or somebody like that.
Who's been in the Stanley Cup Finals? Hall and Tuck or Dumba, who we kept over them?
Yeah, but fully under their power.
Just saying.
You're just saying.
Right.
You're just saying, but you're also saying that if we gave up a couple of our other pieces for that, you know, that would have made all the difference, right?
I'm not saying it's making all the difference. It can make a difference, though.
I agree.
You know, it takes a little bit of, you know, take 50 small little differences, and it adds up, you know?
It depends which ripple in time you're in. Yeah.
Butterfly effect.
You know, Vegas was a team of misfits, so.
Anyway, next question from Tom Hain. How many of the top 9 forwards will finish the season with more goals than Dumba? Speaking of our
honestly, guy.
3.
We're talking the top 3 lines right now. I'm betting Dumba is number 5 as far as goal scorers on the season.
I can agree with that. 5 seems fair.
I'm putting him at probably about 4, so
we're not too far off on this.
Yeah, he's getting lots of power play time as well, so I think that's definitely gonna benefit him there. So,
all right, from T-Hane 88, when the saga finally plays itself out, does Kaprizov end up with the Crows or the Puddle Jumpers? I'm gonna presume that he means the Blackhawks or the Jets.
And I think they're gonna not end up with the Wild. So, which is where he belongs, but that's I hesitate to say who he's going to end up with at this point. So
he'll never come to the NHL.
Yeah, maybe not. The ruble is very good.
T-Hane88 also messages in here. Mark Foligno, $3 million per year through 2020 and 2021 season. Really? I got one thing to say to that.
Who had a goal tonight?
Who had a goal tonight?
The lesser Foligno.
But
he did.
Yeah.
He had a goal.
And what I'm also looking at, though, is if you've watched the beginning of the season here, on a lot of the penalty kills, we have seen Foligno out there. And I got to say that when he is playing out there, he is definitely breaking things up and causing mischief for those power play lines.
I'm not trying to dog on Foligno, but he is no Kyle Brodziak.
Okay, he may not be.
And I don't know what I don't know what side of the argument I'm on at this point.
No, I don't know where you're headed.
I'm not mad at Foligno though right now. You know?
Oh, maybe he's our new Brodziak Heatley player.
Well,
Damn it, Foligno.
He is the lesser Foligno.
Okay.
All right. Next question from MN Frosty Boy, Mr. Chris Frost. It seems like it's a given down by one at the end and you pull your goalie. I hate it. What percentage of the time does it actually work for the team with extra skater? Maybe Creason Assist can provide stats because #Felska knows. And then Felska chimes in at Creason Assist. According to my research, when you're down by one and you pull your goaltender with about 2 minutes to minute 30 left, you have about a 20% chance of tying the game. Which actually is a great question. And there's a podcast, Malcolm Gladwell produces it, and actually within the last month or so, I don't know when this actually came through, he talked about pulling the goalie as a concept, and a lot of very smart economists have actually pondered this question: when do you pull the goalie? And you know what their conclusion is? NHL coaches pull the goalie way too late, because it takes a long time to score a goal, and having an extra man on the ice is a huge advantage.
So the old school philosophy of 1 minute per goal is way under what needs to be happening.
Even if you look at the numbers that Felska gave us, which actually tie in pretty closely, is, you know, within a minute and a half, 2 minutes, you get a 20% chance. If you want 100% chance, so basically even odds.
You're pulling them at midway through the third.
Yes. And actually, that's what the economist said.
That's at a 1-to-1 ratio.
Yes. It's basically, the economist said, if you're down by a goal and it's 11 minutes left in the game, you pull your goalie.
Why don't we just start the game with
well, you could.
I mean, you could.
I mean, that's, well, baseball this year, a lot of teams were starting their closers.
Yeah.
Instead of starting their starting pitchers, they were starting with their closers, pitching like an inning to get through like the top of the lineup, and then putting their starting in quotes pitcher in the second inning.
So basically, Aaron Brown and Cliff Asness basically have done the analysis, and if you want to maximize your odds of winning, you pull your goalie if you're down by a goal at 11:40 left in the third.
Boudreaux, you heard it here first.
You know, I guess and actually jive to that extent, why don't you pull your goalie right off the bat, get the goals early, and then just play defense?
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you're a really solid defensive team, you know. I mean, if you're a shutdown defensive team and you've got that down.
What team's going to expect a 6-on-5 right off the bat with fresh legs?
Well, you better hope you had a good face-off guy.
Or if it starts to fall apart, you know, you have one defenseman who kind of hangs back, and if it's falling apart, he heads to the bench.
I really want to see this now.
And your goalie comes out.
I want to see a face-off, and within the first 30 seconds, a team pulling their goalie.
It's not your paycheck.
Well, and I think on the Dallas game, they were pointing out that the Dallas coach was starting to pull his goalie really early in the game, which is obviously, you remember when Waugh did that, you know, years ago, yep. Where he was the one who pushed the 2-minute barrier. We were like, people are losing their mind.
Right.
And
really?
Yeah, because didn't he end up pulling a goalie with like 5 minutes left?
Right. And if you look at the research says he wasn't even being daring. It was like he should have been at 11 minutes.
Right.
You know? But it's, you know, I think people underestimate the advantage of having an extra skater.
As long as you can keep it in the zone.
If you can keep it in the zone,
you should always have one guy open, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you should. Mm-hmm. You know? You have to be able to backtrack and hope they're not just going to chuck it down the ice. But it's I find it very fascinating as a concept. I'd love to see a team implement it. I don't think we're going to see it because, you know what, they're going to be it much like the free throw in basketball and the increased odds of throwing that shot underhand.
Nobody's going to do that.
No one's going to do it because they don't want to be the first person to fail. Because they're going to be judged harshly for it.
All right. Aaron, you're going to have to help me explain this next banner. Did you look at the banner in question?
Yeah, it's really bad.
Okay. How clever was this banner rundown for all 31 NHL teams? Kind of clever or genius?
Okay, so it's a gal who's basically going through the team banners, the would-be banners of each team. And it's basically a spinoff of, I believe it was
Iron Maiden,
Nashville,
Iron Maiden.
I believe it was Nashville that put up some banners, or in particular a banner, in their arena that touted that they were the regular season Western Conference champions, which is not really a thing, you know.
Right.
Considering they're already putting up a banner for President's Trophy. So they were already putting up for up a banner for having the best record. So saying you had the best record and the best record in your conference is kind of redundant. And so What she was doing was basically taking that same take and saying, let's just have something that's kind of a pointless banner. And it was pretty good, for what it's worth.
See, Philly, best mascot. Toronto, we still need defense. Ottawa, we're a team. What do we got? Vancouver, 2018 Fortnite champions.
Yeah.
I don't know. I heard a little tonight, though, our own JT Brown, you know, pulling out the Fortnite, what do they call those? Marathons. There we go.
All right. Last question.
Last question. It comes in from Fan on it. Three in the box. We hear the boys say, we need to play a full 60 minutes of hockey. How many minutes are the Minnesota Wild actually playing right now? A sad 40?
Well, I would say it's somewhere in the 60s.
I was going to say about 65. We got a lot of overtime.
Yep. Obviously, they are not being paid salary, and they're being paid hourly at this point now because
they
have definitely been pushing for the overtime.
Minutely?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that they're... The one thing I will say about this team is they're not making stupid mistakes. They're just making boring hockey and boring losses. And that's the bigger bummer about things. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really, I don't want people to freak out because I think that so far, the beginning of the season, we've had some ups, we've had some downs, but really, I think that the team has at least been fairly consistent in the fact that we've been in every game, whether that's because Dubnyk's standing on his head or other games when, you know, we have goals going in and we're getting some production out of our offense. I think that we're working through here. I don't think there's any reason to panic yet at this point. I don't think we're going to run away with anything here, but I think that we definitely will still have a shot. So,
all right.
Nothing to complain about.
That's our week and a half worth of questions.
A week and a half worth of questions.
Almost 2 weeks.
Yeah. So.
Aaron.
So, yes.
Where can we find you at?
You can find me. I'm at Angry Finn on Twitter and at The Angry Finn on Instagram.
Yeah, you're asking. I think. I don't know. I just put it in and it auto-populates for me.
Yeah, I know. I don't look at it. What do I know? What about you, Jive?
Yeah, you can follow me. I am at Jive Midnight on Twitter.
And Kenny.
You can find me at NostraKennius on both the Instagrams and the Twitters.
See, you're all synced, and I am totally not.
But you know what else is synced? Three in the box.
And so is Justin Timberlake, apparently.
Yeah. He probably paid for that, though. But you can find us at Three in the Box, the number three in the box. Send us your questions.
Yeah.
Hashtag 3ITB.
Hash brown 3ITB.
Palm
hash
sign.
Hash
palm browns. Sign 3ITB.
Yeah.
Is it breakfast time? I need flame burger.
Ooh, right up the street.
White Castle.
Oh. You're going on a plane tomorrow?
Sucks for them.
Yeah.
Great for me. You can also check us out at 3inthebox.com and you know, search us on your favorite podcast player. We'll be there. That's it. So, peace.
Later.
Out.